And first raising support to go to Greece and to serve with Greater Europe Mission. And Jim's motto is multiplying disciples and growing Christ's church in Europe. And I found my part in that mission through serving refugees who are coming into Europe from the Middle East. And first going over to Greece, I think it's very difficult to prepare to live in any foreign country that you've not been to. Because no matter how much you prepare, there are so many things that you don't expect and you don't imagine will be difficult. So some examples of that for me was finding bed sheets when I got to Greece. I did not realize that they measure sizes differently in Greece and bed sizes differently. So I had the most difficult time for about 2 weeks trying to find sheets because I didn't know what size bed was in the apartment that I had. And people thought it was a little bit crazy that I didn't know that. Another time when I was moving into my apartment, I had hurt my toe and needed some bandages, and I realized I had no idea how to go about getting that or where to go. So I ended up at this little pharmacy to talk to the pharmacist because that's what you do in Athens. And I was trying to use Google Translate and figure out, you know, like hand motions of like this, my toe, and you know, what I need in my story. And somehow, miraculously, he finally understood what I needed and gave me something. And I, looking back, it was pretty miraculous that that worked out because I think everything I said was completely wrong in Greek at that point. Another thing was that I imagined going into Europe that I would maybe escape the weird foods that you sometimes deal with going into foreign cultures. Thought, you know, it's Europe. I think I'll be fine. But my dear, sweet next-door neighbor, a little elderly lady, spoke no English. I had invited me for lunch about a month after I'd lived there. And she was telling me for several days she was so excited to have me come for lunch. And she was making just her favorite thing that she hardly ever got to have. And it was sheep head soup. And I did not realize until I walked in the door that it was going to literally be a sheep's head in a pot that had been stewing for several days on the stove. So we had that soup, and it was quite interesting textures. I just tried not to think too much about what I was eating until I got to the bottom of this bowl of soup, and I had floating around in there quite large eye socket of this lamb head, and that was it for me. I had to get a distraction, and I put that in a napkin, and I did not eat that, but I got most of the way through it, so I was okay. But truly, I mean, the first few years being in Greece, building relationships, learning language has really been the foundational things that I've had to work on in trying to learn to be there and to live in the country. And one of the first things I wanted to learn in Greek when I went over there was Philippians 4:13. Philippiseos 3:14. Όλα τα μπορώ διαμέσου του Χριστού που με ενδυναμώνει. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'll give you just a really short recap of why I'm there and what's happening in Europe. Around 2015 was the peak of what we call the European refugee crisis, and it was a lot of people coming from Iraq, from Syria, due to terrorism. And, you know, they had cities and towns that were just completely reduced to rubble. People had nowhere to go, and they were fleeing. And naturally, these people are coming from the Middle East and ending up in Turkey and trying to get to the safety of Europe. So right across the way there, by land or by sea, you're going to reach Greece. So Greece was kind of the entry point for thousands and thousands of these people who were fleeing from their own countries. And so the tagline that I had adopted for my ministry when I went there was serving the unreached in reachable places. Because you have these people coming from countries where it would have been extremely difficult for me to get in and serve there. Many of them never had the opportunity to see a Bible, have never spoken to a Christian. And the Lord, in his mercy, is bringing those people to relative freedom in Europe, where they now have those opportunities to have the gospel shared with them, to be discipled. So that's been really exciting. And so that is still going on in Europe, but one thing that has changed from 2017 till now while I've been there is that Greece is no longer just an entry point for refugees. So initially we had a lot of people were just coming through for short amounts of time in Greece, and they were moving on to Sweden and moving on to Germany and the other countries that they were planning to stay in. But now that's begun to change. A lot of other European countries are becoming more closed and a little weary of the situation, not as welcoming to foreigners coming in. So now what you have is the probably 50,000 refugees that are in Athens now, the majority of those will probably stay. So that has changed a lot of ministry there. Ministry focus from, you know, this emergency relief aid to long-term integration for the people, which is in a lot of ways a lot harder type of work to do, but also very rewarding. So how my Greek church has approached this problem has been through an integration program that we call the At Home Project. And I've shared about this in my letters before and what we do. And basically, we are trying to practically help refugees be able to become self-sustaining in the country so that they can find a job, so they can support their families. But the overarching idea of this is spiritual, because by meeting those practical needs, we're able to open the door to relationships with these families, ultimately to share the gospel and to see our friends from the Middle East come to follow Christ. So that's the goal. I'll just share with you really quick one story of a woman that I'll call Hannah, who is currently in our integration house now. And Hannah came from Iran with her mother and her brother, and her father had passed away before they left. And Iran is a little bit of a different situation from, say, Syria, for example. They're not having open warfare in the same way, but Iran's government is extremely repressive and becoming more so of their people. Iran has the highest execution rate per capita in the world. And so basically, in Iran, you can be tortured, incarcerated, executed, you or your family members, for just about anything at the whim of the government. And so someone in Hannah's family had gotten on the wrong side of the government. They were getting death threats to their family, and so they had to leave. And it was especially difficult for Hannah because she was diagnosed with MS, and that's something you need regular treatment for. So for the many months that they were on the road traveling, that they were in refugee camp, she was getting no medical care for her condition. So now she's able to do that, but even though she's a very young woman, because of all of that time not being treated, she has a lot of physical things that she can't really do well for herself anymore. So she's been struggling with that, and that's where this family was when they came to us at the integration house. Another interesting thing about them is that they are a Muslim family, and their mother is very devout. So when they came, you know, our program is open to anyone. We don't only help Christians, but we make it very clear that who we are as believers, that we serve Jesus Christ, and we're always welcoming to people to be part of Bible studies, to be part of the church community if they want. So this family came, and they said, you know, that's great, you're Christians, that's fine, but we're Muslims, we're going to kind of do our own thing. But what was interesting was not long after they got there, they did come to church for a special event that we were holding. And Hannah's brother had noticed the music and the worship time of the service. And he is actually an extremely talented musician in Iran. He was one of those people that you can just hand him any instrument and he can just play it. And he had told us about how much he missed his music. And so he actually had asked the pastor, could I help with the worship time on Sunday morning? And they talked about it and prayed about it. They decided to let him help. And what was interesting was this was also when we had really tight COVID restrictions this year. So we were meeting several times on Sunday mornings to keep up with the restrictions because we could only have a few people at each service. So we had this guy, a Muslim guy who was not interested in coming to church, was now sitting through a gospel message about three times in a row every Sunday so that he could be there to help. So it was really cool how God used his passion and love for music as a way to open the door to him being able to hear the gospel. And so for his sister, Hannah, that I became friends with, I had invited her to a Bible study that we had started a few months ago, and it was based specifically for seekers from a Muslim background. And one of the first lessons that she came to, you know, she was a little unsure, you know, I don't know if I'm really interested in this, but she listened through the first part of the series and she raised her hand and said, I just want to say that it's so amazing that we can be here and we can ask these questions. We can talk about what we believe and in our doubts about our religions. She said, in Iran, she's like, I could never have imagined, would never be allowed to even voice these thoughts that we had. So she was really just, you know, in awe that she had the freedom to do this. And so she told us, you know, I'm not going to say anything now. She said, I want to go through this whole study. I want to hear and see everything, and then I will make my decision what I think about Jesus. And so we are still in the process of that. We're about halfway through that study when we had to stop several weeks ago because of COVID restrictions again in Greece. So I share her story, even though there are refugees who have come through our program who have come to know Jesus as Savior while they're there. And we have had families who have been baptized while they're in our program. And it's super exciting and just brings us so much joy to see God working in that way. But I share Hannah's story specifically because we're still in the middle of that. And that is the place where the majority of the families we work with are. They have not come to a point where they've made a decision for Christ, but God is working in their lives. And it's so cool to see each of those little things that he's doing to bring them closer to him. And it really is just amazing what God does. When you think about, he brought this young girl from Iran who had never planned to leave her home, brought her to this country that she never had planned to go to hear about this God that she never knew. And it's amazing to see how God does that. I was thinking the other day about Daniel chapter 2, when he talks about how the Lord is the one who changes our times and our seasons. He's the one who raises up kings. He's the one who deposes kings. And he's the one who knows what's in the darkness and what's in front of us. And I think just as a lot of believers recognize this immense opportunity we had with the refugee crisis the last few years to share the gospel in new and creative ways, I really believe God is doing that again in our times right now, even with the COVID-19 pandemic that's happening around the world, has changed so many things. I believe it's not been a stop to the gospel. In a lot of ways, God is just giving us new doors and new ways to get in and share, which is really exciting. And continuing to provide in just amazing ways. So just a couple of the things that God has done for me just in the last couple of months has been I was able to get my visa to go back to Greece for another 2 years. And that was a miracle in itself that I even got the appointment and got the visa. But the fact that it was for that length of time, we were not expecting it all. So it was very much a God thing to be able to go back. He's also been raising up several new team members for our gym missions team in Athens. Despite everything going on, Greece is still on lockdown right now, still a lot of restrictions. And despite all of that, we have several team members who feel called to come. And even in such a difficult time in the next few weeks, we have new team members that are landing. So that's really exciting also. And another way that God has provided for me has been financially to get through this last year, which was really difficult, and provided for me to be able to go back this coming year. And you all have been a part of that. So I want to thank you for all of the gifts that you have given financially for me and for my ministry. Has been such a huge blessing. So I thank you for being really part of that is what allows me to be able to go and be able to do what I do. And thank you also for your prayers for the ministry that's going on, because all of these things we're doing, all the things that I've shared, your prayers are what are laying the spiritual groundwork for those gospel conversations, for those relationships in so many ways. So thank you so much for doing that. Right now, you can be praying for me as I prepare to journey back to Greece, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. Depending on what's happening with restrictions in Greece, it's a little crazy right now, but hopefully getting back in a couple of weeks. And you can also be praying for the connections with these refugee families that we have, for these relationships we've built. You know, the scripture says that the angels rejoice over just one that comes to faith. And so I'd ask that you'd be maybe praying today that Hannah may be that one for us in these next few months. So thank you for all of that. Thank you for being a part of my life and for being a part of this ministry that we're doing in Greece. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.